Hi, pals, and welcome to the Disneyland Paris show. Here's your hosts, Lucy, Chris, and Hugh.
Gosh.
And now, Disneyland Paris news. Premier Access scanners arrive outside select attractions.
Halloween decorations continue to appear throughout the park ahead of the start of the Halloween festival on the 1st of October.
Parts of the castle begin to emerge from below the themed tarps.
Characters will stop meeting at the Nautilus later this week and the attraction will return to its former operation.
November the 4th will henceforth be known as Disney Plus Day, with Disney parks around the world providing guests with some surprises, including character moments, photo opportunities, and more.
Yeah, cross your fingers. Yeah.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, Disney fans, and welcome to another Disneyland Paris show. What's coming up on the show today? I know you're dying to ask, I know you're dying to know, so I'm going to tell you. Coming up today, we continue our trip report from our late August, early September trip by talking about everything to do with food. We have restaurants reviews of Captain Jack's and Annette's, and we've got a special guest review by the Dunn family of the Manhattan restaurant in Hotel New York. So we're going to read that out. But first, we're going to discuss those news items, unless you guys have got anything to ask.
I'm still alive.
Oh, yes. We were sans Chris last week, and we're so grateful to have him today because we could just kind of sit and pick our nails while he dealt with the technology things. But you've not been well, have you, Chris?
I've had the COVID, so I've not been well at all. But, well, I say that. I reckon having two jabs has meant it wasn't as bad as maybe it could have been, probably. Not that we'll ever know. But
and now you've had it and you've been jabbed, which is the best position to be in.
Yeah, apparently so. So, yeah, I'm like superhuman now, which is awesome. But I'm still a bit scatty-brained, so I'm probably not the best person to be driving today.
Oh, what, you're safe to drive home, though, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I mean driving the show.
Well, it doesn't have to drive home.
Okay.
It's not I'm to drive about this car because we all live together.
We all live here at 37 Disney Street.
You know the drill.
Okay. It's all right, I'll do the driving and the heavy lifting for you, Chris, today. Just as long as you can remember which city the Disney park that we talk about is in, we should be all right.
Yes, I'm sure we'll be fine.
Fantastic. Right, let's get started on some of these news items then. So, Premier Access scanners have arrived outside select attractions. Have you seen them? Have you seen them?
They look like lanterns or something, don't they?
Yeah.
I've written down letterboxes that beep, but like old-fashioned letterboxes, little...
I've seen a lot of praise for them, but I'm not that into them personally.
I like them. I think they're cute. I don't think that they're overly like... because we've all got a bit of a sour taste in our mouth about the fact that they're trying to sell us this new concept. And they don't have Premier Accent emblazoned on them. They don't have price tags on them. They are very well themed to the attraction. So they're quite subtle. But what you do is they look like old-fashioned letterboxes and you put your smartphone into the letterbox mouth. And it beeps and jingles and comes up with little tunes and flashes and people are all going, oh, shiny thing.
I'm going to pay for that.
Exactly. And the Disney community is happy once more. How fickle we are. They ask us for money, we have a mad, and then they show us what we're paying for and we all go, oh, shiny thing.
We're being asked if the audio and visual is slightly out of sync. We had this 2 weeks ago as well and then it seemed to sort itself out.
I don't know. Maybe it's... let me have a look.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no. Which way is it out of sync? Because I might be able to fix it whilst
we're
talking. Oh,
really? Right, let's have a quick... now, the thing is, the person that's talking is me and my face is out of, out of view.
I get that. Wow.
Okay.
No, it's gone.
Right. The other thing about the Premier Access is they've lowered the price of it at the moment from 12 euros for the top attractions to 5 euros for the lowest attractions.
Right.
Visuals are slow.
Okay, thank you. Visuals are slow.
So we always knew this was going to be dynamic pricing in that it was going to shift with the suns. It was going to do high season, low season. Mid-September is traditionally the lowest of low seasons as well as mid-January. So presumably this is low as it's going to go. But you can get on things like I think it was Star Tours, was €5. That's still too much, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, also, mid-September, I can only imagine that Star Tours has got a 10 minutes wait most days.
Oh, we're flashing on and off, Chris.
Oh, no. That's interesting. Yeah. So apparently we can't do messing around with things while people are doing things. Oh, well. Well, I've moved them slightly closer together, so I've either made it worse or made it better. But I'll tell you what, let's just carry on anyway.
Yeah, I was going to.
I know. I did say a couple of weeks ago with all this that there was chances that it might take a while for us to get the audio thing right. And there is a bit of an issue with how the audio syncs with the camera. And my head's fuzzy, so, yeah. COVID. Let's blame COVID. It's COVID's fault.
He's in a fever fog still. So, the Halloween decorations.
Have we stopped working now?
We have, yeah.
Now it's really out as well, I'm told.
Oh, no.
Are we actually out? Are you out? Am I out? Are we out?
It's not working for me.
There we go. Let's just have a look and see if it's working for me. Yeah, it's working. It's still working. We're relying heavily on Hugh here. Yeah. And Hugh's just stopped working, but it's working now. Right, let's just carry on and pretend that none of that just happened.
Halloween decorations are out and about. They've been coming up for a while.
Yeah.
Now Hugh's going to have to ding me because this is definitely going to be pronounced wrong. The Alabrias figures.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
It's the ghost things from Coco that are all colourful, but your spirit, your animal spirit thing. Yeah, okay.
Them.
They were previously climbed on and then replaced by orange cones and caused a lot of Twitter grumpiness last time they were out. Well, they are now surrounded by sort of like miniature boxing rings by ropes going around them. So do we think it'll stop European children from climbing on it? We don't know. We'll see. But they've tried. They've tried something for a change.
Good.
There's a new bumblebee pumpkin man. Have you seen this guy?
No.
Some of these decorations look a bit plonked.
Yes.
They're not integrated. They're just sort of plonked on grass, plonked on a bit of ground, but the base that they're on doesn't match the ground. There's a lot of plonking I've been seeing. I don't know if that's evolved at all, but when they first went up,
I'm hoping that will evolve plunkage. Because they've been putting the coloured succulents in the flower beds, as they often do, and I'm thinking that a combination of that and the major decorations might make things blend together a little better. I did think that when I saw the bumblebee pumpkin man, but to be fair, I also couldn't work out where he was. He seemed to be just sat on a wooden bench, so I presume he's in Frontierland. We've gone back with the big sunflower harvest theme for that central island as you come in outside the Thunder Mesa trading post, and we've got the Mexican Day of the Dead theme going up at Puerto del Oro. It's all things we've seen before. There's not been loads of completely new things, and it is with a vengeance on Main Street, which a few years ago it wasn't. They were very under themed on Main Street.
It was pretty well done on Main Street when we went. But the plonking thing, particularly in Frontierland, I thought there was a lot of stuff just kind of plonked. But I think I forgave it because the whole Coco stuff was just brilliant. Walking through Frontierland really was great. Mm.
They've debuted some new costumes for the meet and greet, Fab Six. I've only actually seen Goofy's, if I'm honest. Mm. But they seem to be straying away from the vampires and bats and ghouls and things, and going more again harvest kind of. It was an orange and white striped suit. Yeah, I quite like that, and it's a little bit different. As long as they keep characters like Jack Skeleton near the Phantom Manor, I can deal with the rest of it being an autumn festival.
I do like the playful ghosts that you get on Main Street, though. They're just a nice addition for me. It's one of the things that I like the most about being there at
Halloween.
Is that
the sound effects and?
But there's statues and things. Oh. You know, like you have the guys, the barber and stuff, stood outside the shops and things. You've got ghosts all
outside
the way down.
Cases.
One of them doing a painting. You can stick your head in it, that sort of stuff. And they're really playful and nice. I was a big fan of those when we went on Halloween.
Mm. And Halloween will have started by the next time we do our show. So we'll be doing a show next week, I presume, at least in part, on what we're seeing as the offerings for Halloween. There's also been some Christmas, Well, there was a press event where they were invited to a Christmas room. These are all the big accounts on Twitter and the press and so on like that. I haven't put that in the news because I feel like that was their news, the people who were invited. I need to have another look and digest it. Mm-hmm. But they displayed a lot of snacks. They displayed some costumes that are going to be worn. They still haven't confirmed whether there'll be going to be Christmas parades, fireworks shows, etc. But we presume that's because they still don't know, because regulations are changing all the time. Mm. Right. What else have we got on our news? Well, do you want to tell us what you're drinking, Huey?
Ooh, caught me unawares there. Sorry. On the wrong screen. What on earth? Yeah, please, Hugh, tell us. What are you drinking?
Hey, ole, it's your time. All together. Your tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-cup in your tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-cup. Well, you make yourself a beverage, I'll drink it up from your tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-cup.
It's an alcohol-free beer. Bavaria. Available at all good supermarkets.
Nice.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Lots going on in the chat.
Go on, tell me about the chat.
I think it's finally got to the stage where I can't roll call everybody. But yeah, there's Bob's here, and Bob, we're using your coasters today, your Star Wars coasters that you've made us. Oh, I will say, while we've got some, because like Susie's here, we were hoping to drop off your present at some point, Susie. Just we're going to drop it off, take a nice day trip one Sunday, but so we'll have to hook that up.
The others are all going out tomorrow.
Yeah,
And I've contacted you all to let you know. Apologies for the delay, but I didn't want to send COVID-riddled prizes to everybody, so I thought I'd wait.
And all the other winners live outside West Yorkshire. Mm-hmm. Susie lives within West Yorkshire. She's in the fold, so we're going to drive it over.
Nice. The Dunn family are chatting at us from Paphos.
Wow.
Ooh, exotic.
Yeah. Who else we got? Natasha's here. She's going in 1 week to Disneyland nice. Paris.
Oh, yay.
And well, gel.
It's her daughter's first Disneyland Paris trip as well.
That's exciting.
Makes me go,
come back
world,
and tell us all about it.
Small world, small world, small world, multiple times. Colours and lights and music.
Danny's just got back from DLP.
Ooh. Ooh, was
so,
it
yeah,
good?
He loved it so much.
What were the cues like mid-September, Danny?
He has to watch our podcast just to, you know, just to kind of prolong that magic.
Yeah.
That's what I found I did when I got back. I found that I missed it all so much that I roped two of my friends into starting a podcast.
Yeah. It's the Disney blues are real, and I don't think other people understand until you've travelled back from a Disney park.
So true.
I was just moaning about it.
Cheryl's going in March.
Nice, and so is Cecilia. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yes, true. Oh, that is true. Yeah, you could. Yeah, well, we won't set you up. We won't match make. Yeah, all sorts.
Well, I'm gonna go on to the next piece of news, but you can tell me about chats.
Well, I just want to say, Kiva has spent the last few weeks catching up on all the podcasts. So thanks for that.
Yay! I wonder if we've got any more or less.
Sandy's going tomorrow.
You're going tomorrow, Sandy?
You show
what?
Off. What a show off.
Well, there's going to be chats. You need to carry on listening then, because there's something in particular I want to tell anybody who's going soon needs to know. We'll get onto that when we talk about the dining. And anyone who's just got back, I know there's a few of you, you can also wade in on this. Anyway, that's after the news. So what I was going to say to all these people who've got future trips booked is the castle is flower-like, beginning to emerge from its tarp, and it looks bright and repainted and vivid and immaculate and beautiful, doesn't
you know,
it?
Yeah, it does. It was really interesting to me. Sat in the chat last week while you guys were talking, and one of the questions in the chat was, when do you think it's going to open up again? And you said, oh, I think it's not going to be till March time, something like that. And I was sat there screaming at the television.
Had you seen
screen.
It?
No, I hadn't. But I'd seen a lot of the tarp had started to come off and the scaffolding was still there behind. And I was just kind of going, no, that can't be right, because we're having a big New Year's bash this year. Mm. And there's no way they're going to want to do fireworks and stuff and have that in tarp. So I will bet you money that it is going to be out of that tarp. Well, probably in the next few weeks, to be honest, by the looks of it. They seem to be moving at quite accelerated pace.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, for Christmas. I know that we keep teasing we'll go for Christmas. We've nothing booked. We probably won't. I really hope we do. But I can't imagine. I was happy with the summer trip in a box. I can't imagine Christmas with it in a box because it gets dark so soon.
Yep.
And the blue sky.
They need it. They need it.
They do.
Can I just plug a Facebook group as well? There's a French Facebook group called Inside DLP Castle, I think it is.
Ooh.
And they post all the things in French, but obviously with Facebook you can translate it. But they are posting every single day what's happening with the castle, loads of pictures and everything, and it's well worth looking at because it makes me feel all warm inside.
Yes. Which is the point, really. I need to get the Main Street Loop on in my car because I'm yearning. Right, the characters will stop meeting in the Nautilus later this week and the attraction will return to its former operation. Now, I'm going to go out there now and say I think that's a shame. I think it will be less visited as a walkthrough. And I think that having characters there was a stroke of genius. We went through this last week because of the speed you walk through, because it's a queue. It makes it an interesting queue and you absorb the details. I think that's a real shame. However, we are in low season. And I hope that this experiment has proved it works and it's a good idea. And perhaps when we get back to high season, it will once again be a meet and greet.
Maybe they'll move to a different walkthrough and like start hiding around the corners in the passage, in Aladdin's passage, or like up the treehouse or something.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Oh, they should have real people in the treehouse.
Just try and get more people going to some of the lesser visited attractions by sticking characters in there.
Yeah, well, although personally that would make me want to go less.
Well, yeah.
But yeah. In the case of the Nautilus, I think the Nautilus is the only one it worked on, if I'm honest, because we would go in the Nautilus, but it was nice to move a bit slower through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas we go in the treehouse all the time and we storm up and down there at speed and shouting to each other and looking, and it would be a bit different. Mm. Anyway.
Queuing on the steps.
It's gone. One reason, maybe, we hope, is that they were actually wearing their steampunk parade costumes in the Nautilus, and maybe this is a sign that the parade might be coming back.
Ooh, maybe.
I mean, we've seen Maleficent. Maleficent as a dragon back this week, breathing fire in all her glory. Still as a cavalcade.
Have you ever seen that video where it's set on fire in America?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
The drama.
Do you think they'll bring back an old parade at the back end of this year with the 30th next year and the high probability of a new parade?
I don't think they'll get a new parade next year.
Do you not? Isn't it a prime time to do it when we haven't had any for over a year?
It is. Oh, well, you might be right because of that reason, but I think 5 years is a pretty short shelf life for a parade, and they only had this one on the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more likely that they would refresh 3 or 4 floats and do a 50% new parade, particularly because money's going to be short.
Too tight to mention.
What was the name of that Facebook page?
Inside DLP Castle, I think. Right. Or Castle. If you're a southerner.
Someone was asking in the chat.
Castle.
Sam was asking.
Right, I was maybe a bit dramatic when I said November 4th will henceforth be known as Disney Plus Day. This year, November 4th is Disney Plus Day. And it's parks around the world. It's a single day. It's like the princess celebration they had. That I think they're really trying to be a bit synergistic with the way they do these celebrations.
Is it like Tudum? Is that where it's coming? Is it? Do you not know about Tudum?
I don't know about Tudum.
That was Netflix thing yesterday.
Tudum.
It's the sound that Netflix makes when you turn it on. And apparently it was about 3 hours of trailers for new series that are coming. It's their big event. I think it's to try and take on Amazon, I guess, isn't it?
I saw the word Tudum. And I didn't connect it to that.
There you go.
Yeah, so they say within Disney parks, they're going to have a Disney Plus Day. I presume that this is to give some airtime to like Loki and Wanda, and a lot of what's on Disney Plus is already in the parks in one way or another. What's been said?
Maleficent. Sam's husband observed that normally when someone says Maleficent, I say Maleficent. I forget the actor's name, but the guy from District 9 who's the king in Maleficent. He goes
Maleficent.
Maleficent. Maleficent. Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed that episode of the Classics podcast when we talked about live shows.
Yeah.
You said that a lot.
Maleficent.
So what are the photo opportunities? It's going to be maybe some pop-up backdrops, but it's probably going to be magic shots.
Mm-hmm.
What other surprises do we think that Disney can do? Some Nutella-themed snacks,
Spidey and his friends doing meet and greets. Mm. The the new ones from Disney Plus. I'd like to see like some of the characters from some of the lesser known TV series make appearances. That'd be quite cool.
Mm. Like Disney's Doug.
Why not? The
Disney,
why not?
Disney version of Doug. Well, they bought it. You know, they own it. They might as well use it. No. I would say it'd be nice to see
Simpsons.
Doug, but no, it would just remind me how awful that TV series was after they bought it.
Tell you what I'd like to see. I'd like to see something erected near Phantom Manor that involves Muppets to Time of the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Because I think there's an opportunity there, and what we don't want to see when it comes to Muppets is full-size people.
Unless it's Sweetums.
Sweetums would be all right. Oh, how good would that be?
Yeah.
Actually, Sweetums just bobbing down.
Yeah. Smile in a jar.
I'd take that.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
Oh, except there's no touching and my God, you want
to
cuddle.
If you could get the Muppets to appear at the windows in the Phantom Manor.
Yeah.
That would be brilliant. Mm. Like they do in the...
Great Moments of History.
Yeah.
In Liberty
Great
Square.
Great Moments of History. Something like that. Those kind of things would be really cool. But yeah. I think because a lot of this whole event is what's being released on that day, isn't it?
Mm.
And
Hawkeye is the big release for this year in November, isn't it? By the way, I'm a lot more excited about Hawkeye than I thought I was going to be.
I am, because it's Christmas themed.
Yes.
It'd be nice to have a specifically Christmas set.
Yes.
Series.
Mm.
So I'm gonna move us on, guys, because I'm aware that we're potentially going to have a very long show.
Yeah, we need to be quick because we're recording Zootropolis/Zootopia after this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about the food on our trip. We've been spreading out this trip report for weeks.
Thanks,
Don
family. Thanks for tuning in. They're going now.
No.
Oh, bye. We're going to be reading your review soon. But bye, you can catch it later.
I've just realised why there's a syncing issue with the audio.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't set it up right.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right,
there you
go.
So, but I know what I did wrong, so next week I won't do it, and I apologise. Now, if you give me a second, I can probably get rid of the lag, and it won't exist anymore.
Okay.
So, I don't know, talk amongst yourselves for just a second.
Yeah. So, I've split this into five sections. Okay, first of all is the availability of food. This is the bit I really think you need to know at the moment. Second, quick service food that we did, the variety, the quality. And then we've got a review of the Manhattan, a review of Annette's, and a review of Captain Jack's. So that's what we're going to chat about. So I'm going to delve straight into food availability, because this, nothing can ruin a Disney trip, but this came really, really close. Is that, bearing in mind, we went August bank holiday week. All the restaurants except Hyperion, including the table service restaurants, Plaza Gardens, Agrabah and Captain Jack's, all the restaurants shut at 4 o'clock. All of them. It was, and we, I wasn't
What time's the park shut?
8.
Oh.
I know. So we were travelling with another family.
This was, yeah.
And
it was embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing because they've got a younger child, the nurse, and they were saying, oh, we don't want to have chips for every meal. We want a variety. And we're like, leave it with us. Don't worry. There's a huge variety in Disneyland Paris. You can get anything you want. Come up here. There's a pizza place. And round there, there's a pasta place.
Well,
and round there, there's a Moroccan place.
We discussed for a while what we were going to have. And like, you know, we wanted something on the way to being healthy, and like we thought, well, Colonel Hathi's, there's some kind of salad and lasagna option
there.
They
do good
salads
there.
So we went up there, and this is the thing. This is it starts up being annoying like straight away, because there isn't a sign that says it's closed. We had to walk all the way to the door, and then eventually a member of staff came over and he said, "Can I help you? You know, it's closed." Was he American? I think it was American.
Do you know?
Or German.
You mentioned this the other day, and me being the techno guy that I am, I went straight on the app and had a look, and every single one of them said they shut at 4 o'clock on the app. So maybe you should look to the app.
We didn't even go to Hyperion because we didn't want burger.
Do you know what though?
Understand that.
We didn't want burger and chips. We didn't want chicken nuggets and chips. We wanted anything else. And that was the only one open.
We didn't think to check the app at 4 o'clock though. This is the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, I get that.
I mean,
I
mean, it's not even, I mean, there's basically no dinner. There's lunch and there's late lunch.
Mm.
And there's no dinner.
Presumably the hotel restaurants would have been
I'm not saying that's a thing, but
we spoke to this guy and he said no, this is shut. And we're like, what?
Mm.
And did he say why?
No, they didn't say why. So that day we left the parks. This was at about 4:30. So we were going for an early dinner anyway in our books. So this was about 4:30. We left the parks and went to Annette's. The following days, we knew then we'd got a plan and we're like, right, so we'll have a bigger lunch and then we'll just do some kind of snack tea. So we'll go and get a waffle or get a crepe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Because they shut as well. There was one day we wanted to go for an ice cream and it was 4:10 and our friends got in the Gibson Girl ice cream parlour on the corner and they shut the doors behind her and she was the last person in the queue. Now, it was 29 degrees. It was 4 p.m. and the park was open for 4 more hours.
This is the thing. It's a sunny day.
And we couldn't get ice cream.
It's a sunny day. You want to just chill out with a bite somewhere. You want to enjoy the rest of the day. There's hours left of the day, you know, in the park. And all of a sudden, you've just been shut out. And there's obviously a reason. There must be some staffing issues or something in it. But, like, it was just massively frustrating. It was a bit embarrassing because, we were with some people for the first time. We kind of felt responsible.
So they started packing sandwiches. They started making sandwiches at Village Nature. And I mean, that's fine. They wanted to do that. But I always, when you take your friends somewhere, like we love Disneyland Paris so much. I said before, it's like introducing your friends to your new boyfriend and you really, really, really want them to like him. And then, you know, they realise that he smells and picks his teeth, I don't know. But it was like, we took them there going, look at this place, it's paradise. And all they wanted
What's wrong with picking your teeth?
All they wanted was a plate of salad at 4:30 in the afternoon and they couldn't get it. And I felt so embarrassed. It was really bad. But, I mean, that's it. That's the moan. And it's universal. Now, thing is, I know there's people in the chat who are going soon. If you know this in advance, please check your app and plan accordingly and book accordingly. Because also when we booked Captain Jack's, I booked it for 4:45 thinking, because I wanted 5:30 and I just thought all the slots had been booked. But when we got there, we were the last people in and we were the last people out, weren't we? So we were coming out at like 5:45 and they were cleaning the tables.
Yeah, we were.
So
yeah,
they'd shut the table service ones as well.
When did you book it?
Only like 10 days before or something.
Do you think maybe they've had it open for the amount of time, you know, whatever it is it 60 days before that they start the open bookings, 90 days? And they've just not had enough bookings in and so it's not been worthwhile keeping them open?
Well, I mean, here's the rest of the question. If there's a staffing issue, which is very, very probable at the moment, then why not staff half the restaurants from 11 till 3 and the rest of the restaurants from 3 till 8.
Well, surely if they've got staffing issues then they're going to have the bigger issues at lunchtime because people, you know, come and go throughout the day. Surely your peak time's going to be like between 12 and 2, 3.
Perhaps, but I mean, at least having one quick service restaurant after 4. And then the other thing is, it might well be an attendance thing because we know attendance is down. Mm. We know it's limited. It felt quiet.
Yeah, they're not just shutting them for fun, are they?
No.
But, like, it was still, like, it was just such a shock to not be able to eat after, like, what felt like a very reasonable time. The day after, I think it was, or maybe a couple of days after, it happened again and I got furious, but it wasn't restaurants this time. We'd accepted
snacks.
That. We wanted a snack, so we went to one place and it was shut. Then we were like, oh, well, we'll try this place. Shut. We went to...
This is the studios.
We went to Fantasia. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. No, this was the afternoon.
Yeah,
we went to Fantasia Gelati. Shut. Again, no sign on the outside. People were having to go all the way to the counter for the member of staff wiping something down and saying, sorry, it's Fermi closed. We eventually went to the old windmill. You wait for literally about 20 minutes for what was it?
It was a waffle. I've got another comment about the waffle.
Yeah, so just at the moment, food and snacks poorly organised.
But I mean, my advice, honestly, if you're someone who wants to eat at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. My advice is take some sandwiches. Now, that's terrible. I don't want you taking sandwiches, soggy sandwiches in your backpack. I don't think that's the Disney experience. But it's that or the Hyperion, if you're planning on that, or going out into the village. There's nothing else.
Yeah, the village, like, because Natasha's just worried about this, and she's asking, like, how did you get into Annette's? But Annette's is open for longer because it's in the village and you can just walk in.
It's a walk-up one. You can't book Annette's, but there was no queue. We could just walk in.
Now, what about the booking restaurants in the village?
They were all
they're
open.
They're all open.
Because the village itself is open, and all the hotel ones will be as well. So I'm sure you're okay there. It's within the parks, and we were staying without the parks. We were staying at Village Nature, so it wasn't as much of an option to us as it is if you're walking back to Cheyenne, for example. It was a decision to have to go over there. Mm. Now, I just want to talk about the waffle for a second, because this will go into something that you already know and loathe, is the systems of service at Disneyland Paris are very frustrating. They are this was the only place you could, as far as we could tell, get food at this point, and all the service was waffles and magnums, and that was it. And there was a really long queue and two waffle irons. And if someone ordered one waffle, they would fill one of the waffle irons and wait for it. And they would be taking orders of two waffles, one waffle, three waffles, but they wouldn't be putting them in. They wouldn't be just keeping the waffles going, just keep them going, because they knew they could see the queue. When it got to my waffle, I'd asked for Nutella on it. The Nutella had run out. So they went into the back and they got the jar of Nutella and they started to change over the top on the Nutella, and it took a good sort of 5 minutes. They didn't put two more waffles in to cook while they were sorting out my Nutella. So everyone behind me in the queue, their waffles weren't cooking. Now, I know you've gone on about the coffee. It's a systems issue. And I was thinking, what they need is an exec from high up in Costa Coffee to come and sort them out. And then I thought, no. What they need is a shift manager at any Costa Coffee in the country could come over and say, this isn't how you run quick service.
Anyone with half a brain.
Yeah.
I've twice already, like, so I'm not going to tell my croc story again.
Oh, here we go.
Like,
here
you know, but same thing, story. Like, just get someone with half a brain to, like, look at the queue and go, I think we're going to need some more of these on the go. Not just go, what do you want? Oh, okay, I'll go make you one of those.
You only
now.
Serve three things. Do you know, so when we were in Northumberland, we discovered that there was a waffle place nearby. So we're like, oh, brilliant, we'll go and get a waffle. So we walked up to get a waffle. And as we walked to the door, the guy came out, shut it, and walked off. And we're like, oh no. Are you closed? He's like, I'll be back in half an hour. I'm going for my lunch. This was at 1:30.
Going for a big.
We're like, but there's a queue of people there. He said, we'll be back in half an hour. Half an hour came and went. And then when they opened up, what they'd done was, they'd obviously had a big rush around lunchtime. And they got to a point where they needed to make a load of waffles. So they stopped everything and they made them in the waffle iron.
Okay.
They made them in the waffle iron. And so they had a bunch of them all ready to go. And then they heated them through for everybody as they did their order so they could do it quickly. So yes, they had to take half an hour, presumably because of staffing, but they'd done it for a purpose so they were able to manage it better. But you're right. The way that they manage these places, it's all one thing at a time. Every single thing is just one at a time, every single time. And it's not rocket science, is it? In cases, they have the hot dogs all there ready to go.
Yeah.
So why can't they have the coffees ready to go? Why can't they just...
I'm just going to make one more point on this before I go. First off, I don't like moaning about Disneyland Paris. I want you to come here excited about your holidays, and I want to be able to tell you you're going to have the most magical time ever. And you will. But Disney, when you get to that time of night and you're hungry and you want food and you can't find food, you get cross.
Mm.
Now, if you were to say, oh, I love Disneyland Paris, but I'm never going again because I couldn't get a hot dog at 5:30, I'd think you were petty. But the truth is, if your experience of being at Disneyland Paris is feeling a little bit irritated, a little bit cross, falling out with your family, crying kids.
Yeah, getting increasingly frustrated and angry at every place that's shut. Now,
Disneyland Paris do not want those people in the park. You don't want angry, tetchy people in the park, and that's what it creates.
I think there's something we do need to bear in mind here, which is that the place is huge, and what you said about capacity at the moment and number of people visiting, the amount of food waste they would have to have all these places open with their full options, everything available, would be massive.
We've been loads of times now, and you know, every time we go into studios, when it can be quite busy, same thing happens. You go around in the morning And it's become a running theme on my videos that there's always one where I go to one of the carts and I go, look at these amazing themed Star Wars snacks you can get. Of course, nowhere's open. You can look at the pictures. Mm. I do that in every video now, and it's true. And so you look around and you can literally see four carts dotted around and none of them are open. And, you know, you have to walk up to them because you can't quite tell. Eventually, something opened around lunch and it was literally just selling chips. That's fries to our maker listeners. They were just selling chips in a cardboard thing, and that's what we had for lunch in the studios. Another couple opened eventually, but generally speaking, everything was shut. So in the morning in the studios, nothing. In the afternoons, in the main park, nothing. And yeah, like you say, you're walking around just getting madder and madder. And it's not just at the moment. This has been happening every time we've been.
Reading comments as you go, and Sandy said, in fairness, DLP has always closed things earlier, so I think it's just a them problem.
Or opened them late.
That is true, and we've always had this slight frustration with not being able to eat where we want to eat. We often go to the parks with a bucket list, and places like Toad Hall were on our bucket list for three or four trips before we actually managed to get in because it would never open. The same with Cowboy Cookout, same with Fuerto del Oro, because they're not open regularly. It's very hard to predict. But this, I've never... Even when we went last July, I remember we having a bit of a problem. We had a full week, and I've never known anything like this. It was beyond...
They're suffering as well from not being able to do the buffets, I think.
Yes.
I think that's a big part of it, more than likely, is that... Because that's good, continuous trade. People go in and get their fill, but the food doesn't get wasted in the same kind of way. I think that must have a big impact.
Cheryl, they do say the times on the app. We just... honestly, we just didn't expect to not be able to find anywhere at that time.
No, like the only place in the studios in the morning is the Hepcat in the in Studio One. And there's a big queue there because it's the only place that's open. And it's just... It's really frustrating. We can see all these places. Mm. You see them all, and it's just, then there's one little hatch open in Studio One.
I just hope as the crowds pick up, this will. I think we should leave this off now because it is a bit of a downer. It's a bit of a Debbie Downer. And I want to say, springboarding from that, in fairness, the quick service that we experienced that week, I want to give it big compliments because when we decided to switch to lunch instead of dinner, we were able to offer our friends a really big variety of quick service. And I was so impressed with the quality. Now, there's this real thing about it just being burger and chips. But when I think about it, there's only really the Hyperion that I would say is just burger and chips. Now, we went to Hakuna Matata and a friend had a chicken curry and rice, and I had
Hakuna Matata's great.
A pita bread wrap.
You forget how varied it is there.
It's really, really varied. They've got kofta kebabs, I think, stuff like that. We went to
get curry and rice.
Chateau de la Marionette, and yes, you've got your bratwurst. Now I had what you would think was a burger, but it was actually a really thick slice of gammon with braised cabbage on,
nice.
So it wasn't a burger, and it was in a pretzel bun.
I really
want to
go and eat there. When you've talked about it before, and obviously the spiced ketchup.
Thing is, if you look at the menu, if you look at the pictures, you might think burger and chips and hot dog and chips, but it's not. It's bratwurst with curry sauce, then it's like I say, it's gammony. It's really, really
German
good.
Food.
Hearty German food. Bavarian. Yeah. And Cowboy Cookout, chicken, and I mean, it's chicken and chips, but you know, it's the massive bits of chicken.
Well, this is the other thing. I often think table service for your big meal, quick service for your in-betweens. We went to Cowboy Cookout and I couldn't finish it. I mean, to be fair, it was like a €17 quick service meal, but you got a praline dessert, big pie thing going on. I got a ribs and a sausage and a leg of chicken, and then you get the corn fries underneath. It was epic. I couldn't finish it, and I was uncomfortably full afterwards. So there's no saying that you need to do a €40 a head sit-down meal just to get you filled. There's loads of really, really good food out there. Mm-hmm. We didn't even go to Lucky Nugget, which is one of my favourite quick service crossovers. So I just wanted to give a big compliment to the general quick service game.
There you go. See now I feel hungry and quite positive about food.
I want chicken from Cowboy Cookout right now.
Good. Nice. Right. Let's stop our talking for a second, and let's listen to the Dunn family's.
You say stop the talking. You mean let Daddy talk. Let's let Daddy talk for a minute.
I've also realised. Do you know, for some reason, I just expected the Dunn family to come on and read it. I didn't realise you. Well, I did realise. I just didn't think.
He's gone.
I've just realised. Well, I said
he's there.
I said it was the Manhattan restaurant that you went to, Darren, and it was the downtown restaurant. They're both in the Art of Marvel Hotel.
Yes. Okay. I apologise in advance for how I read this, but I'm also. Shall I put the pictures on?
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to put the pictures on. So Darren sent some pictures as well. Here they are. Hugh, if I can put you in charge of these pictures, that would be really good. You just need to click the button to skip through them. And stuff. Relinquishing myself as a duty.
So are these synced up to what's...
Nothing synced up at all. In fact, I think they might be in reverse order just to make things more fun. So you could go backwards if you want.
What are we looking at here?
It looks like some kind of dumplings, doesn't it?
Right, I will say... No, go on.
Shall I read this? Then it all might become apparent. Okay. We went Monday night for 8:30 booking, booked on the DLP app. Me and my daughter, Katie... got there at 8:20 and was told to come back on time. We went back at 8:30 on the dot. Yeah, place was very busy. We were given a large round table, more space for food. The restaurant was large, open plan, amazing decor with lots of Marvel prints with a view of all the cooking platforms and smelt so good. The server gets your food for you. The little black plates with each meal on are all laid out on hot plates at the far end where the food is cooked. Our server was Kevin and was very good and friendly. I found the place. I found the place very formal for what it's themed on, and not as big as I thought it would be, but overall an enjoyable experience, even if there was a table of 20 very loud people on some kind of convention. You're given a menu with three styles of food, Chinese, Italian and American, and he's put the menu can be found online. We could have shown that, couldn't we? Maybe we'll talk through that at some point. There are also options for children. So this is what they had. They started with the dim sum. I always wanted to try it, even though I hate fish. I only ate the veggie one and the chili sauce was nice. Katie started with the burger, a mini cheeseburger or slider with a few roast potatoes, and she said it was lovely. The second starter was minestrone soup. Oh, there you go. So they are the starters.
That's the slider,
Going to go back to the soup.
And there's the minestrone soup.
Yeah, anyone who wants to, any listeners... You're just going to have to watch the show.
I then had a mini burger and asked for the kids' mac and cheese with it. And Kevin brought that over too, followed by brisket, which was so tender and full of flavour. Oh, they look like puddings.
You went to puddings here.
Then the finale was three dessert plates and everything on it was amazing. I especially liked the coconut and mango mini dessert. Katie loved the cheesecake. Then onto the Sky Lounge for a Cherry Coke. And again, great theming. Windows of a few surprise guests swing by. They do lots of cocktails. There's menus online again. The ones that we saw being prepared looked cool. And then he's given it some scores as well. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Overall scores, 5 out of 5 for food, 5 out of 5 for Kevin for the service, and 3 out of 5 for atmosphere. Total bill for the food and drink was €97 for the two of them, and they found the whole Marvel Hotel amazing, and it's definitely on their list to stay at, and had a good nosy about at its works of art.
Hmm.
There you go. Now, for that, Darren. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, very in-depth. When we first looked at these pictures before the show, I said, these look awful. the food looks gross, but actually, looking again, I can see it does have some merit.
That was a really good review, and it was quite thorough. I'm not surprised at all about you being told to come back in 10 minutes.
These little custard tarts that people always go, oh, you must eat it with a little spoon. Get it in your gob. Messing about those little spoons. Someone always pops up from behind a desk and goes, oh, yes, those little... I forget what they're called. Those little custard tarts. You have to eat it with a spoon, and then you fold it in half. No, you don't. Just get it in your face. Come on.
Shove it in.
Jeez. Daddy got a little cross there, that's all.
I'd be really excited about that kind of menu where you can it sounds like you can. Is it a bit small plate-ish? Because it's a is it a fixed price menu? Are you still there, Darren? Is it a fixed price menu? Because I think you can ask for a lot of those small plates, you know, if they're on a heater at the other side. Fabulous.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you very much for that, Darren. Yeah. Right.
So all of you that's about to go, just anything like that, is nice to have as a feature, just a little review, and we can maybe show some pictures, and I can slag them off.
Speaking of which, Mark Chester sent us a video. We're not going to show it this week, but I just need to have a look and vet it.
Yeah.
You know.
Make sure there's no news.
No offence, Mark.
Yeah, but yeah, because we're a bit short on time this time, but
yeah.
€40, €40, Darren says.
Hmm. Yes, you see, I would go for that. And I quite like the idea that you've got the Chinese and the Italian and so on and to choose from.
That's the buffet effect of that restaurant, isn't it? So you can order as many times as you want from each of the different things. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, that.
So let's go on. We went to Annette's then. And we've been here. I went here in the 90s. I think we went there in the early 2000s, and then we went again in 2016.
We didn't go in 2000s.
Did we not go in the early 2000s?
No.
I definitely went with my mum in the 90s.
We went to McDonald's, which we've never been to. You won't let me.
No. When I went in the 90s, just to say, I was a teenager, and me and my mum had had a little spat like you do, just one of those. Nothing major, just one of those. We'd both gone in a bit of a grumpy, blah, 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 move. We'd both been tired.
We came out with the biggest smile on our faces.
We went in, and we queued, and it was raining, and we were queuing outside, and it was raining. And we went in, we sat down like that, not talking to each other. And then it was when they did the thing where you put a thing in the jukebox, and the staff start dancing on tables, and they were roller skating, and they were doing Grease Lightning. And it was just like the biggest tonic. It was fantastic. Now, we went there a few years ago and had poor service and very mediocre food.
Yeah, I thought the food was lackluster.
And just thought, we just weren't rushing to go back ever, basically. It's fine. We just weren't going back because we had lots of options.
This time, I forgot, I'd had a mango whip, hadn't I?
Yeah.
That massive mango whip, and it ruined this meal for me. I didn't want it. I got chicken, like a chicken strips.
Not one of the ones that you read out on your vlog with the up and down.
The way the text is written in the menu, it goes up and down, so it looks like it says, and it's Maxi Burger.
So.
What I got was really like heavy. And because I'd had a mango whip within the last 6 hours, I was ruined. So I couldn't even finish it.
Oh, mate.
It was fine, though. It wasn't brilliant, but, you know, it's just heavy, tasty food.
But we went this trip with Annette's on our bucket list. It's not something we can book, but it was on our bucket list. And when the stars aligned and we couldn't get anything to eat in the parks, we were like, well, we wanted to go here anyway, let's go there. Now, ironically, we'd been saying we didn't want burger and chips. And pretty much all they sell there is iterations of burgers and chips and things from the grill, that kind of thing. But we wanted to give it a second chance because we'd kind of written it off. Now, we went quite early for continental dining. I believe it really gets hopping at about 7:30 to 8:30, and we were there about 5:30. So it was quite chilled and quiet, but the waiter was on roller skates. He was in a very good mood. He was a lot of fun.
He was very attentive towards Bonnie, but not towards our friend's son, which I thought was I felt sorry for him.
Well, he was little, wasn't he? Bonnie was a little bit more.
The guy was all very much, now then, princess. And then there's this thing that happens a lot when we go to France, is the sense of humour is they will like tease Bonnie and they will say, oh, you know, you're going to have to come and do the washing up. You know, they say it quite straight faced, and she sort of looks like, okay. You know, and this happens a lot. This sort of weird joke where, you know, like, she could get quite upset. She could go, I don't want to do the washing up. But she didn't. She got the joke. But, you know, like, they're always running that risk, and there's the weird sense of humour they've got.
Yeah. The service was good. We were a bit round the back. If you know it, it's a 50s diner in the most, you know, stereotypical sense of it. We were tucked quite far on the back, but it was nice because it was quite quiet, good decor. The food was a decent example of burger and chips a decent example. Now, having said that, if you go to any of the, you know, handmade burger kitchen or Byron Burgers,
Five Guys round the corner.
Mm-hmm. I've never been to Five Guys, even in the UK.
It's very expensive because it's but for what it is, but the burgers are fantastic, and the skin on fries that are done in peanut oil, you just get so many of them. Oh. You can buy one small fries to go with for a whole family, basically. We had them when we were in London, and they're just brilliant.
See, maybe that'll be what we try the next time. Although it seems a bit daft now, there's one in the White Rose Centre, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll do it here before we do it there.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, it'll probably be cheaper as well. Still expensive, but cheaper.
So, yeah, it's... And we had milkshakes and Coke floats. Now, the thing is, I'm not going to say to any of you, you've got to go to Annette's. It's amazing. It's the best meal you'll have. It's not. It's fine. It's fine. It's a good meal. The decor inside is quirky and cool and worth going for that reason. Mm-hmm. I rescind my don't recommend it thing. But I'm not sure I entirely commit to a do recommend it thing. This is really poor for someone giving a review.
It fills a hole, and you're likely to get in. The time we went last time, we did queue a bit, and we were thinking we weren't going to get in, but they did let us in.
A lot of people love it there, don't they?
Yeah. They do. It's very attractive place to go. When you see it from the outside, it draws you in. And when you're inside, like I say, the decor it's really engaging in itself. I think that's the biggest plus. And like I say, we had a really nice waiter. I won't say anything about the service this time. I think the service was fine. Well, no, it was good. It was good service. The food is okay. It's fine. Well, to be fair, my burger was delicious. It had blue cheese and onions and gooey stuff. But yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get off our nets.
Okay. Here we have the pièce de résistance, Captain Jack's. Do you want to talk about Captain Jack's?
Yes, I do.
No, I'm all right, actually.
Now, we've avoided this before because me in particular, not a very fishy person. Bonnie's very fussy. But we thought, no, there must be something there. And there was something there. So we all went in, six of us. It's brilliant inside. Like, immediately Lucy was, you know, declaring it a favourite restaurant that ever was. But you know what? One little thing is I noticed it was too dark. We had to get when you have to get your phone out.
I
didn't
wonder whether it might be because it looked like it
when you have to get your phone out to look at the menu. It's a bit too dark. So just a bit more light, you know. Like I think, you know, there's a balance between atmosphere and being able to see what you're eating. And actually, my starter was delicious, and I couldn't see what was in it. If I'd have seen it, I might have been a bit picky.
They should be able to light the table in such a way that it doesn't hinder the ambience or cause problems for people on the boats and
stuff.
There's
a lamp over our heads, but it, you know, wasn't very effective.
Yeah.
If you're not sure what we're talking about, this is the restaurant that's in Pirates of the Caribbean. So when you first go through Pirates of the Caribbean, your boat goes past
and
some people eating.
That was novel. Bonnie pretended to be a mannequin. So she just leaned over the side because we were right by the water. She just leaned over the side with a gun and just sort of like moved her head side to side and moved her gun up and down. And she said, you know, because we're all dressed as pirates that day. But the food was cracking, but it was different. I can't remember what my starter was, but like everything was kind of, you know, sort of flavoured with Caribbean ingredients or, you know, sort of something like close to that.
I'm just going to set the scene though. So the theme of the restaurant is it is a pirate's hideaway that has been made from parts of shipwrecked boats. Now, the theming of I can't believe the first thing you talked about wasn't the theme. The theming of this is so thorough and immersive.
I cut straight to the gripes.
Yeah.
It's not like you, Hugh.
I mean, you've got palm trees inside, but they're so realistic. But then if you go around and you look at pieces of wood that make up a banister, they will have a ship's name sort of stamped in them the way that they would do if they were, you know, bits of timber that were taken from a thing.
Driftwood.
You've got a waterfall in the restaurant. You've got details of flat. You've got banisters that are made out of oars. You've got wanted posters for pirates.
There's a check your weapons spot.
Yeah.
Matt Chester's saying, and Mark Riley agrees, he says, has to be dark. Dark, shady, pirate-ridden restaurant, savvy. But yeah, I agree, it has to be dark, but I couldn't see what I was eating. There's a limit.
I still say there should be a way to light it and still and yeah. it'd still be dingy. Our bearing candle, in mind that like we're talking,
our candle
Disney,
wasn't on our table, but it was at everyone else's. But I don't think that would have made much of a difference. But
no, but you can spot it. Surely they can find ways to spot it subtly.
What do we have I honestly think this is like the smallest gripe from what was just one of the most exciting experiences I've had in Disneyland Paris in years, like the hour that we spent in there. Because we've never been to Captain Jack's. We've been coming to Disneyland Paris how long? And we're able to find this new experience. Mm. And yes, it's an upsell. It's something you pay for. But it really was totally worth it. I had mahi-mahi fish.
Oh, yeah.
And
I had curry.
Yeah.
It's some kind of curry.
Again, it might have benefited from being a little bit dark because I couldn't see that, you know, I wasn't picking through various vegetables. I just spooned them in. But I felt like I could try something new there, and it was all really delicious and surprising flavours. Nothing I would ever order or have at a restaurant.
That's
at home.
The best.
There was an island.
Isn't it good when you go somewhere with just something different?
Yeah.
Rice pudding, which was cold, which was surprising, but it was a cold rice pudding with a mango puree. And do you know, it was nice. I think a warm rice pudding would have been nicer. I like cold rice pudding, but there's just something about it. Anyway, so everything was a bit weird, but very tasty. It's just a bit different.
So the food itself was, I mean, we are picky eaters, but I just thought in for a penny, in for a pound. The food itself was an experience, like a transporting experience. I cannot recommend this enough. If you're going there and think there might not be anything I want to eat and it's very expensive, I know this seems a little bit money, but I'm thinking the money you would spend on it is worth it to get in there, to sit there, to watch the boats go past, to have a little nibble of this food and then decide you don't like it because you might love it. I totally think this is worth it for anyone. It was a fantastic experience.
We plan on doing it.
I was going to say, dining plan you were going to go with. Well,
Obviously, we've got the dining plan if things are open after 4 o'clock. I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah, we plan on going and eating there next time. We had an interesting conversation, actually. I don't know if now's the time to tell you, but we're kind of sowing seeds with the boys at the moment because Ollie will be all right because he'll be 5, but Lucas is going to have to wear a mask the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they don't know they're going. So we've kind of thought, do we keep quiet about it and just not say anything and spring it on them and then go, oh, and you're going to have to wear a mask? Or do we find out how they feel about it? So we've kind of asked them about it, and Lucas said, I don't think I could go if I wear a mask. I'd rather just wait until it's all gone away. And so I kind of said to Laura, look, we need to get him used to this idea. We'll talk about Bonnie and the fact that she's done that, and she's got all the different masks for different areas of the park and all that sort of stuff. That's exactly it. I think he will be.
Yeah.
But his only real experience of wearing masks up to now has been the kiddie ones that don't really fit properly. They're not nice to wear. So we can do something about that, but it's we haven't got very long to do something about it, really, in the scheme of things.
Mm. I must say, Bonnie was amazing, and I think it's 6-year-olds and up, and she'd just gone 7. She'd had a birthday the year before, and she's quite small. And she would do fantastic till like 3:34 in the afternoon. And then
that's very precise, 3:34.
At 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon. And then, like, on the second day, she went, Mummy, my mask's really bothering me, really. And she was doing this. And I said, Bonnie, I'm just so proud of you. You can take it off for the rest of today. I'm going to let you. But tomorrow it has to be back on all day. And she says, I know it does. Know, so we did let
this
her.
This was only outside. We wouldn't be like...
Oh, we wouldn't let her do it in a queue or shop or anything. And I will say, the compliance was very good. But it wasn't 100% amongst the children. We saw a lot of 10-year-olds who were...
Oh, there were people with 5 o'clock shadows walking around, and you know, with those little Mickey hats, you know, just pretending to be 5.
Did you spot any illegal gators? Because that was your thing last time you went.
Oh, illegal, yeah.
I don't believe so, no. I think
I think the message has got through.
Yeah. Thanks to my video that no one watched.
I watched it.
Neck gaiters not allowed. So I'd also recommend just to go back Captain Jack's, but take a head torch.
Yes.
Duly noted.
Absolutely.
But no, it's a good feeling in there.
It's a really good
experience. Do you know what I like about it? It's my favourite ride, and if the restaurant is that good, it just all adds to it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And it was really good to be able to immediately go on Pirates and go, we were sat there. And it makes me look at that scene very differently as well. Mm. Also, there was some boats, because where we were sat, our table was next to what would be a little mock dock. And there was a little boat tied up next to it and then some foliage. And I thought, you know, I don't think I've ever looked at that boat. And so it was just opening up new things. It was wonderful. You're going to love it. You really are. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic.
If we can get in.
So that brings us, well, if it's, yeah, open after five. So that brings us to everything I've got to talk about today, boys. Do you have anything to add? Is there anything in the chat we want to talk about? Oh, sorry, one more thing about Captain Jack's. I had a Virgin Colada and Hugh was furious because it came in a coconut.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd forgotten that you could order stuff like that, and I think you'd ordered like a lemonade or something.
Yeah, probably, yeah, some apple juice or something. Some nonsense like that.
And it just, just a flavour of a Virgin Colada and it, the coconut. Awesome. Right. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up, guys. Is that okay?
I think that's fair, yeah.
I think that's fair.
I don't have anything else to talk about.
Bang on an hour. That's what we always aim for. We never manage it. That's brilliant. So, vlog number 3, which is our studios day, trying everything new in the studios, is out now. The vlog number 4, which is the Captain Jack's one, should be out by the end of this week. But I've got a very busy week at work. We'll see how we manage. And don't forget that you can find us on all the social media and Patreon if you want to help us pay for these lovely microphones and sound desks and things.
All these noises she's making on those microphones. Honestly.
Any money we get from Patreon goes straight back into the show, just so you know that. And without further ado, I would like to say thank you very much for joining us and good night.
Bye, everybody.
There's a fly in here. Little, 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 little